All right. Well, I think we got a minute or two before we start, but let's do the thing that we do before we do.
Does anybody in here like free stuff? Especially free crap that you'll never use when you get back home? That's the best kind, right? Okay.
Every conference goer ever.
All right. So those of you veterans, long-suffering audience members of Shane and Todd shows, you know what's coming up next. If you want free stuff, you got to stand up.
Got to play my game, right? We are going to play a fabulous game called Heads or Tails. So look at most of you, straight to the head. So
look at everybody, yep.
The idea is I'm going to use this quarter to throw it up in the air, right?
I'm going to bring something. Shane and I have been doing this whole heads and tails thing for a long time, way too long, according to most folks. We've been getting some complaints, and the main complaint is they think it's rigged. Because what does this guy always flip?
Heads,
everybody knows that. He even got a two-headed coin once. So I was thinking this time we're not going to let Shane flip the coin. Because what kind of session are we in? We're in a PowerShell session.
Might want Zoom. Oh, look, we have Zoom installed now. We've grown
presenters. All you haters.
Now, wait. Before you get too sarcastic, remember that I don't know how to use Zoom it yet, but we have it installed. So, step one.
So, we decided for this, we were going to use PowerShell to flip the coin for us. So, this guy can't rig it and give whoever. Well, so that's the thing. That's the actual code we're using right there. So go ahead. Now everybody's game's all off. Everybody's just going to start heads. Now everybody's scrambling.
All right, so if you think PowerShell is going to say heads, put your hand on top of your head. If you think PowerShell is going to say tails, put your hand on your tail.
Now everybody's all confused. All right, are we ready to go?
This is interesting because everyone else knows it should be heads. If it's not heads, I think this is rigged.
Here we go.
Yes.
Oh. And actually, let's take...
Look at that. Look at the room just fall. All right. Heads or tails? Let's do it again.
Heads or tails? I'm going to take the clear off so we can kind of get a... Heads or tails? Everybody got it?
Tails. What kind of random is this? This is called every other.
Wow. Yeah.
All right. Heads or tails? Heads or tails? Don't let your neighbor cheat.
Heads.
So just to be fair, we did this earlier, we messed with it. It did tails about 35 times in a row, so I'm positive it is not every other.
It really did, yeah. Okay, we got how many left here? We got 2, 4.
We got 10, 12.
All right. Heads or tails?
Heads.
Heads. What are we at now?
We got 1, 2, so we got 7 or so.
All right.
All right.
Tails. Did you all have tails? Oh, okay. So we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Five, all right. Let's see, you got one of them with head. Oh, 3 heads.
Heads.
Oh, 4 heads.
Oh, tail, it was heads. I just did it again. All right. Same, everybody's confused. All right, heads or tails? Put your hands on it, all right.
Wait, heads, your tails?
Tails. Down to you two?
Looks like it.
All right.
All right.
Heads and tails. Oh, the anticipation, the excitement. Heads. Congratulations, sir. So you can choose. No. Take the prizes to the. He went for the class. All right. Woo-hoo. That seemed a little more fair.
I did not like that. That's that idea of boring. All right. So we're here to talk about PowerShell. Who are you?
I am Todd Clint. I am a SharePoint MVP and a lover of PowerShell.
Aww.
Do some speaking, obviously. Do some writing. How many people here have a copy of our SharePoint 2013 book? I see some people who have not raised their hands. Shame, shame. Great PowerShell chapter in here that's going to kind of build off of some of the stuff we talk about. You can get this at the conference bookstore down at the exhibit hall there. And if you get one this week, come find Shane or I. We'll sign it. We'll write bad things about each other. Shane will draw in it.
Draw. You know.
I've got a blog. Maybe you guys have heard. It's a little thing I do sometimes. You can go out to toddclinton.com/blog. And though I've broken the front page of my blog, you can't get to the categories from there. But if you click any blog post, then the categories work. I've got a category for PowerShell, so you can go in there and just see all the posts that I've done on PowerShell. I work at Rackspace. There is our site. All of the stuff that we talk about today and yesterday and on Sunday will be at sharepoint.rackspace.com/SPC. So if you have any question that starts with, will I be able to download blank, the answer we will give you is sharepoint.rackspace.com/SPC, because everything's there, slides, scripts, whatever. You can email me, ask me questions, tell me how much you don't like Shane. You can tweet me. And then on Monday nights, I do a live SharePoint podcast at 8:30 Central Time. And we talk about all kinds of stuff, PowerShell, SQL, all that. I do it live. You can also download it as a recording. It's in iTunes. It's in Zoom. It's all over. But you can do that.
Way more interesting is my name is Shane Young. I am also a SharePoint MVP, have been one for much longer than Todd, is the key message there. And you know, like Todd, I work for Rackspace, and we do consulting, training, speaking, all of that hosting stuff, some of that cloud thing, whatever that is.
I've heard of it.
Heard of it. So there's my email address. There is my blog. I'm not going to lie. I don't blog very well or very often, so not much to see there. But, and I'm on the Twitter, so. Also, I think worth noting is we set up a special hashtag for this session on Twitter, right? We got with the fine folks. And if you would use Todd Stinks as the hashtag for all your tweets about this session, it just helps everyone kind of stay together.
Keep the conversation. And on Yammer, do they do hashtags on Yammer with the?
Yep. I don't really understand what Yammer is. All right. Did I say it out loud?
I think your mic was off.
Okay, good. All right. So we're going to jump in and do some PowerShell. So to be honest, right, I want to make sure that, you know, we set expectations how this session is going to go. We're going to start with the beginning. You've never really seen or done PowerShell, because how many of you are brand new to PowerShell and couldn't fake your way through it if you had to?
Not very many. Okay.
Yeah, there's good. 20-30%. All right, so from there, we're going to talk about the six things that everyone must learn. All right, so we're going to talk about those key commands you have to learn. For those of you that are pros at PowerShell, once we get through that, then we're going to dive head first into a bunch of nasty-looking PowerShell code that we've written over the years. Yep. But you got to bear with me, because we've got to get everyone up to speed through the six things that everyone has to know.
Yep, so if you're experienced in PowerShell, the first half or so is going to be kind of boring. Feel free to nod off. Just go ahead. You just tell your neighbor, they can wake you up when we get to the exciting part at the end. But we want to make sure that there's a good foundation for everybody.
Yep. So then we're also going to talk about things like how to connect to SharePoint Online and how to remotely connect, remoting into different SharePoint servers from one PowerShell window. So kind of bring all that into one nice little story.
Yep. And we'll try to take a lot of questions. We got some stuff we need to get through, but we're pretty good about taking questions. So if you've got something, shout it out. We'll see what we can do.
Absolutely. And as Todd alluded to before, we will provide the so when we get into the hard part, we're going to use a notepad file. It's got a bunch of PowerShell scripts we've written and kind of pull pieces out. We'll provide you that notepad files to take home. So yep. Don't feel like you have to write it all down feverishly. Everything that we go over will be in there.
Yep. True story.
All right. So the beginning, what is PowerShell, right? It is a it's our lives, really, these days if we're Windows people, right? PowerShell, you know, we've all used command prompt forever and ever and ever. And with a command prompt, it's just, you know, you type in a command, you hit enter, and it spews text on the screen, right? Blah. It does a thing, it either works or it doesn't, and it just throws some text out on the screen. There's no combining commands, there's no real working with it. It's really just type in stuff, hit enter, something happens or something doesn't, and then there's some text.
Yeah, so I started with SharePoint back with SharePoint 2001. And there was a command line tool there called OWS ADM. And OWS ADM did about four things. And it was really ugly and clunky to use, but it was all SharePoint. And it was, you know, you could only do SharePoint stuff with it. It was very rigid, but it was safe and it was easy. Now we've transformed all the way to PowerShell. PowerShell is really complicated, but it can do so many cool things. And so it's the barrier to entry is kind of tough, but you got to do it. We're in a much better spot now. When we first heard during the SharePoint 2010 beta that they were introducing PowerShell and deprecating SDS-ADM. We kind of went through the stages of grief, you know, the anger and the bargaining and all that, because we really didn't, neither one of us thought we were smart enough to do PowerShell. But once we kind of got over that hump, it's been a good time. So I think we're in a good spot with it.
Yep. All right, so why do you care? Really, when people ask me why they care, the biggest thing I say is, hey, how many of you plan to work with Microsoft Technologies Windows for the next 5 years? Pretty much everyone in this room, right? Everything about it is going to PowerShell, right? Exchange is PowerShell, SharePoint is PowerShell, SQL has PowerShell, Active Directory has PowerShell.
Yep. When you install a new Windows Server 2012 R2 server, what is the default mode that it goes in for the setup? Core. So now if you just do a default install of Windows 2012 R2, all you have is PowerShell. That's where they're moving everything. So you gotta do it. You gotta embrace it. And it's just cooler. Makes you cooler. Your coworkers will respect you more. Kind of chest will, you know, be a little higher. You'll be able to dance better. True story. So there's just nothing but good things come from
PowerShell.
I've seen
you dance. I would not vouch for that one. All right. So those of you that used STS-ADM, loved STS-ADM, right? It is still in SharePoint 2010. It's still in SharePoint 2013. That's not, I don't know, it's been deprecated for several years now, and it still keeps hanging around. But generally, the way we like to think of it is anything that STS-ADM can do, PowerShell can do better. So there's really no reason to be learning new tricks in STS-ADM.
Yeah, anything, and this is a thing that we talk about, you know, as IT pros, we're inherently lazy, though I like to think of that as efficient. Some people call it lazy. But if we've got a script that worked with SharePoint 2007, when we install SharePoint 2010, we run it once, it looks like it works, we go, and then we go from SharePoint 2010 to SharePoint 2013, we run it once, look good. So what we're going to ask you is, if you've got these scripts laying around, or if you're doing things with STS-ADM, even though they might work now, find a way to do them in PowerShell. When we first got the word about PowerShell, you know, however many years ago, as we worked through our stages of grief, when we got to acceptance, we're like, okay, we need to make peace with PowerShell. So we went out to Amazon. We bought the highest rated PowerShell book. It was one by Bruce Payette called PowerShell in Action, I think. He was on the PowerShell team. Nobody knows it. Well, there were a couple people, but he was a good one. So we sat down and we started reading it, and I got to page like 4 before I fell asleep, and there's a big drool stain on the book. It's just, you know, I don't care to know how to add numbers in PowerShell. It's just not exciting. So what we ended up doing, what got us over the hump, was just figuring out how to do things in PowerShell. That was the way we did it. So we could, you know, spend 30 seconds in central admin creating a site collection, because we all know how to do that, or we could figure out how to do it in PowerShell. First time we created a site collection in PowerShell, probably took an hour, probably.
At least.
Second time wasn't so bad, 45 minutes. But as we start doing it, and that's how we learned PowerShell. It's how we got into doing it. We just did the things that we had to do. And it was applicable to us, and it made sense. So like we said, if you're doing something in STS-ADM, you can probably do it in PowerShell now. There's a couple of one-off exceptions, but that's how you're going to learn it, is just by fighting those fights.
All right, so the first thing we need to know about Windows PowerShell is the basic thing that everything we do is going to be a commandlet, right? So CMD, LET, we can pronounce that commandlets. And that's going to be just these little single functions, right? So get help, get sites, new sites, right? Create a site collection, upgrade, whatever the different things are. We're going to have these little commandlets, and those little functions, if you will, once we get familiar with them, we're going to learn to string those together, and their output, which is going to output a thing called an object. And once it outputs that object, then we're going to be able to start to dive in.
Yeah, so one of the core things that the Windows PowerShell team did with it, so they invented this language a few years ago. Monad is what they called it when it was a preview. But they kind of looked back at all the scripting languages that were out there, CMD and the Linux ones, Bash and all that, and they kind of took the best pieces of all of it. And they came up with a bunch of philosophies around PowerShell. And one of them was that every commandlet should do one and only one thing. That's the idea behind this. So if you've got a commandlet that does something, like get SP site is a good example, all it is going to do is get SP sites. It's not going to format that output. It's not going to save that output anywhere. It is going to do one and only one thing. Keeps them simple, but gives you these great building blocks. So the slide we talk about chaining them together, we're going to do some examples. But as you're thinking about doing things in PowerShell, each does only one little piece. And that makes it easier to build on.
Yep. So here's an example of a commandlet. Get-SP-site. So the neat thing about commandlets is they're all very consistent, right? They believe in consistency. And so they're all in the form of verb-noun or action-object, depending on how you want to, you know, proper versus...
How pedantic you want to be with verbs and objects.
Not the other. So when you do something like get-spcite, what it's going to do is it's going to go out, and that particular command like goes out and gets all the site collections in your farm and returns them to the screen. Now, in reality, it goes out and it does. It gets all your site collections, and it pulls them in, it gets all these objects, and it's got, you know, if you think of a a site collection as an object, there's thousands of lines of XML that is part of that object, right? The size, the quota, the blah, 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 blah. So imagine if it just spewed all of that out on the screen at once. That'd be very overwhelming. So what they've done is they've formatted that commandlet to say, hey, when someone says get spcite, by default, let's give them two properties, the URL and the compatibility level. So that what that's telling me is, if I don't understand it, is, all right, I typed in get spcite, it returns some stuff, and it's consumable. I know that something happened when I ran that.
Yeah. So anybody who has animals, dogs, cats, whatever, I'm always amazed by when you've got a little kid that comes over to a dog and starts pulling on a dog's tail or pulling on a dog's ear. The dog doesn't chew the kid's arm off. The dog can tell, oh, this is a little person. It's a young, it doesn't know any better and kind of treats it differently. PowerShell is the same way. So if you're playing with a new commandlet and you type get spcite and you don't put anything afterwards, PowerShell goes, oh, that's adorable. He doesn't know what he's doing. So not only does it not give you all 10,000 of the site collections in your farm and everything about it, it gives you the first 25, gives you a couple columns to build on, so you're like, oh, so that's what happened, and then you can kind of go a little farther. The other thing I wanted to talk about is what an object is. I assume most of you guys are IT pros. We have the luxury of not having to deal with objects very often. So I like to do a bit where I just kind of explain what an object is. And the best explanation of an object that I ever saw, I stole from somebody, I can't remember who, but they talked about cars. Everybody's got a car, and a car is an object. So think of your car as an object. Your car has properties. There's a lot of cars out there. There are a lot of instances of the object car. You might have multiple instances of the object car at your house. I've got three, my wife and I do. And each one of those instances of the object car has properties. One of those properties might be color. You know, the object number one, my Explorer is blue. The object property is blue. My wife's car, you know, might have a property, how many wheels, what size engine. But they're all objects of the type car, but they've all got different properties, year, make, model, whatever. All those objects also have methods, things that you can do to the object. You know, car.start, car.roll down the window, car.drive off a cliff, whatever. Things that you can do to this object type. And my lawnmower, also an object. It's an object of the type lawnmower. It also has a color, but doesn't have the method roll down the window. It doesn't have windows. So when you're working with PowerShell, remember, all it thinks about is objects. Everything you get back is an object. So we have these site collection objects. We see URL. We see compatibility level. But that's just PowerShell making it easy for us. It's really an object, and we can do things with those. Yep. Got to start thinking of an object. And that was one of the great things about STS-ADM. It was all strings. It was just blobs of text. You couldn't screw it up. Now it's a little tougher, but it's more powerful. The other thing from this screen that I wanted to mention was PowerShell, kind of like Share, has one name, PowerShell, but its full name is Windows PowerShell. And that's because it's owned by the Windows team at Microsoft. So every Microsoft product that has PowerShell commandlets has to adhere by these rules from the Windows PowerShell team. And they're very rigid and they're very specific, and they make PowerShell super easy to learn. So one of them is, like Shane said, every commandlet is verb-noun. No exceptions, except what we talk about in the next slide. Every one of them. And for those verbs, there is an approved list of verbs. If you see a Microsoft product and it has PowerShell commandlets, which we've agreed now is everything, they're all going to have the same commandlets. So you don't have to worry about, is it delete or remove or explode or whatever. All the verbs are finalized by the Windows PowerShell team. So that's why you're going to see some crazy commandlets in SharePoint that the verb doesn't quite make sense for what we're doing, because they've got these rules from the PowerShell team. The other one that I think is just absolutely genius is for the noun part. The noun is always singular, no exceptions. So it's not, was it get spcite or get spcites? It's always singular. So that's really handy when you're trying to figure things out. because you've only got a certain number of verbs, and there's like 10 or 12 or something approved verbs, and all the nouns are singular.
All right, so to that end, there are six commands that I think you all must know and know very well. Because it goes back to the whole Todd and I had to learn this ourselves. These are the pieces that you need to be very comfortable with, because these are the ones that are going to let you figure out everything else. So what we're going to do is we're going to walk through these six commands, but I just really like them, so I put them on one screen.
Yep. I'll just sit and bask in the glory of the six things you must know.
It's like an agenda slide almost.
Yeah. You do love your agenda slides.
I do. Okay, so get dash command. That particular commandlet, what that will do is return all the commandlets that are registered with your current PowerShell session. So what we'll look at here, actually, I guess let's just jump right over and do it, right?
Yep. So one of the challenges of command line interfaces, like the first time I installed Linux, you know, 100 years ago, I got this prompt, and I'm like, because it's like 1993. I'm like, well, this is great, but what do I do? I can't, I need to click, I'm a Windows guy, I can't. So one of the challenges with any command line interface is figuring out what to do. You know, you put your kid in front of central admin, they'll figure out where create site collection is. PowerShell, it's going to take that 10,000 monkeys.
It's very sad for those 10,000 monkeys.
I think they'd have gotten a better job by now.
You would. The economy's tough, though. All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to start from our start screen here, and I'm going to go to our friend SharePoint 2013 Management Shell. All right, that was automatically installed when you installed SharePoint on the server. I'm going to right-click on it, and I'm going to make sure that I run it as administrator. There is never a case where you're going to do anything for SharePoint where this is not does not need to be ran as administrator. Windows will say, are you really sure about that? Yes, I am. And so as this spins up, it takes it a second to connect. A couple other changes that we typically make to our PowerShell windows. So if you right-click on it and do properties, this is a part where I'm going to hit this button. And
oh, geez, it's going to explode. Oh.
Man, look at that. Come here. Come here. Come here.
Almost there.
All right. So a few things that we like to do. One is I like to enable what's called quick edit mode. So quick edit mode lets you use the mouse, right? We're still mousy people. So it allows me to click into the window, select all the text, click once to copy, click a second time to paste, that type of stuff. So quick edit mode allows you to use the mouse the way that you think it should. The next one is on the font screen. We've kicked it up to 12 by 16 for here. Another good one is 10 by 18. Those fonts just make it a little bigger. I don't know about you guys, but my eyes are getting a little worse all the time, so the bigger it is, the better. Though now I know how to use Zoom, and I might just...
It's a whole new world.
I know. And then, of course, I always like to change the colors just because I can, right? Screen text of, you know, nice bright green.
Makes us feel elite, you know, old school hackerish.
It really does.
Matrix. Look at that. That just commands respect right there. Your green screen text, oh yeah.
All right. All right, so everybody can see well enough? There'll be no complaints about vision? All right.
I'll fire magnifier up and we'll...
All right, so the first one we're going to run is our friend get dash command. Now, notice what I did there. I started to type, C-O-M, and I hit the tab key. One of the great features of PowerShell, you can tab. If I just run get command, it's going to return every commandlet that is registered with this current session, which is going to be a whole lot. I probably shouldn't have done.
So we've had this whole tab complete forever in Windows. I'm not impressed that you can tab complete commandlets.
I am, because it stops me from remembering anything.
Right. But the great thing that PowerShell does is it also makes everything tab complete. So we've been able to tab complete file names in Windows since about 1984. But what PowerShell does is now we can tab complete parameters. So we're going to start showing you a bunch of stuff, and there's going to be all these crazy parameters to learn, and it's all going to go off into this fog or haze, if you're even still awake. But the great news is with PowerShell, as soon as you hit the dash key for the parameters and start hitting tab, it will cycle you through all the parameters.
So we'll dash right there, tab, dash name, dash verb, right? So that's the front half, or dash noun. This is the one I like because I will do SP star. The reason for that is that all the SharePoint commandlets start with SP. The noun portion starts with SP. Star says give me everything else. So then that would actually spit out the list of all of the SharePoint commandlets are registered. Depending on what version we're on here, we end up with hundreds.
700 and something, 800 yeah. And something, I forget.
When you get tired of scrolling, you can always hit Control C. And then I'm going to type in CLS to jump back. So looking through that list of commandlets, I'm not going to actually type that. Looking through the list of commandlets, the first one that I ever found that I was interested in was the get SP site.
Yep.
And so now what I would do for that one, since I was interested in it, is I would do the second commandlet you need to know, get-help. And so if we do get-help, get-SP site, no, I do not want you to download that stuff. It's all PowerShell's offering to go out to the internet and look and see if there's any updated help files or not.
Yeah, so this is something new in PowerShell 3 and 4, is the help now is dynamic. So you can go out at any point and type update help, and if there are new help modules for Windows or whatever, it will show up. And then SharePoint, I think SP1 for SharePoint 2013 adds that support into SharePoint as well.
All right, so it returned the help. And with the help, you know, you've got the description, the different syntaxes available, a lot of stuff, but in reality, it's almost too much. So what's more interesting is if you do a dash examples, all of the PowerShell commandlets have to have help files. They all have to have examples. So this actually gives me 9 different examples of how get site might be used. So this lets me take the commandlet I didn't know anything about 2 seconds ago. Here's a couple of things to try out to see if they'll actually accomplish what I want.
Yeah, I don't know about you guys, but I learned, you know, so the first one, the get help, tells you how to structure things and how it's worked. That looked like a lot of work. I don't know about you guys, but I learned best by stealing other people's work. And so that's what the examples lets us do. We can go there, we can see other, you know, these examples. Like Shane said, the folks on high at the Windows PowerShell team, one of the edicts was every commandlet must have help. They kind of missed the boat. They didn't say that every commandlet must have correct help. And so there are a few examples of stuff that's just not correct, just doesn't work. So it's not correct. You don't see it very often, but if you see it, it's not a big deal.
Some intern had to type all those in.
Some for, yep.
All right. So with all that, right now we know different ways we can use get site. I'm trying to get it so we can see the top and the bottom. There we go. So I've got all this garbage on my screen now. Before I start playing with get site, what I want to do is I want to clear the screen. Now, how do we clear the screen in DOS? CLS, right? What's wrong with that from a PowerShell commandlet or PowerShell point of view?
Where's the verb? Where's the noun?
It's not a valid thing, right? So what it turns out is that in order to make PowerShell adoption better, right, Todd alluded to, they looked at all the other tools that people are using, they've given us different PowerShell aliases. So let's type in CLS first. So that does clear the screen. But so now the third command I want you all to understand is get-alias. So now we can do get-alias CLS. Oh, CLS is actually clear-host, right? Clear being the verb, host being the noun. So this is a very important tool set for you, because when you start downloading PowerShell commandlets off of the internet, you start reading blogs, things like that, everyone likes to show you how smart they are by using aliases for everything.
Mm-hmm.
The first time somebody sent me one of those scripts, it had like 4% signs and a triangle with a question mark on top of Todd's head. It was just
a click and a bang.
It was overwhelming. So when you're learning to write PowerShell, I always recommend you avoid aliases. And if anyone sends you a script with aliases, you translate them all right away, because clear-host makes a lot of sense.
Yep. So yeah, and I've been doing PowerShell for a while, and I'm not very good at PowerShell, but even after 4 years or however long we've been doing PowerShell, I never use any aliases ever. So if you see any blog posts of mine, it's always the full commandlet, it's always that. We've got tab complete. There's really very little that's saved by doing tab complete. And think about the next guy, because you never know, after this session, you might go down there and win your fortunate craps and walk away from your jobs, and hopefully every one of you does that. And then the next guy's got to, you know, look through the scripts that you've got and figure out what's going on. Aliases are going to make it tougher. So think of the next guy.
So one of the things you can also do here, right, type in get-alias by itself. That will show you all the aliases that are registered with PowerShell. What you're going to see is that most of your DOS prompt, your DOS stuff, so DIR, CLS, that type of stuff is all there. If you have a Unix or Linux slant, right, most of those are there as well, right? So LS, and I'm not sure the only one I know in Unix, but you know, those different pieces are all in there. So trying to help you get up to speed faster with whichever language you're comfortable with.
Yep, that is good. And scroll to the top of that list.
Wait, is this that thing that happened last time you scrolled to the top?
Sidechain's a tool! So two of the worst aliases are those top two. because it just doesn't come to your mind that that's an alias for anything, but the percent sign and the question mark. So if you see percent signs or question marks in PowerShell code, it's alias for for each object or where object. Those are the first two that kicked my my butt.
All right, so let's escape out of there, clear the screen again. So number, is that really what I had from number four?
Did you show the slide?
No,
okay.
They don't get to see the slides. These are slides are for me.
That's...
So the next one we want to talk about for a minute. So if we do get SP sites, let's do that one real quick. You probably have to do some filler. This is going to take 10 seconds to load the first time.
Yep.
But so get SP site, right? That's going to get all the site collections in our farm and return them for us. But what you're going to see when it returns, unfortunately, it's caching on the back end. What you're going to see when it returns it is it's actually not going to return all the site collections in our farm. Two different things are going to happen. One is if we have more than 20 site collections in our farm, it's going to filter those, or limit those for us. It's only going to return the first set and say, hey, you've got more, but I didn't want to spew out 40,000 objects if that's how many site collections you had because you didn't know any better. The other interesting thing that it'll do is one of the special site collections. What's the most special site collections in all of SharePoint?
Central admin.
You guys are bright. I like it. So central admin is not up there on that list, but it's a site collection. So why isn't it there? Because Microsoft knows that, hey, if you just typed in get SP site, you probably don't really realize what you're doing. And the fact that if we return central admin and say we run a command line that says get SP site and then set the owner to, you know, Snoopy, Todd's cat, right? If we do that, do we really want to set Snoopy as the owner of central admin? No, right? Central admin should still be owned by the install account. But it's real easy to make mistakes like that. So they try to think a little for you. If you really wanted central admin, you can actually do... I shouldn't have done that. You can do... does it include central admin?
Get SP Web App has it.
How rude.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Yep. So the thing he was going to show you is in get SP web app, because it's the same thing. If you do get SP web application, it gives you a list of all the web applications in your farm except central admin
there for
the
is.
Same idea.
So get SP web app includes central admin.
Yep. Because they, again, it's like PowerShell being the big dog. It can tell whether you know what you're doing or not and trying to say. And this brings up an interesting point. How many of you have used PowerShell with SharePoint 2013? Good. SharePoint 2010. Okay, this is almost a trick question here. SharePoint 2007. Okay, so SharePoint 2010 was the first version of SharePoint that came with PowerShell commandlets from Microsoft. A few very smart folks, one of them is at the conference, Gary LaPointe, wrote a bunch of really great PowerShell commandlets for SharePoint 2007. I have a huge amount of respect for Gary, good friend of mine. I would never run his PowerShell commandlets on SharePoint 2007. Nothing against Gary, he's way smarter than I am. But as we're walking through and we're showing you all these things that Microsoft put in place, all these stoppers to keep, you know, beginning PowerShell users, protect them from themselves. PowerShell is kind of like fire, you know, or gunpowder. It can be a great tool, but you can blow your hand off if you don't know what you're doing. For the any PowerShell that you do in SharePoint 2007 is written directly against the object model, and it doesn't have any of these protections in it. And so when Shane and I were at SharePoint 911, we got to fix a lot of SharePoint 2007 farms because people downloaded some PowerShell off the internet and destroyed things. Because things like, you know, there's no throttling for getting SP sites, there's no protection against destroying central admin, things like that. So our guidance would be for SharePoint 2010 and SharePoint 2013, use PowerShell all day long and twice on Sunday. With SharePoint 2007, I wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole. Just stay completely away from it.
All right, so one of my PowerShell commandlets, or sorry, one of my site collections is portal.contoso.com. So what I'm going to do is if I do get SP site and then that URL, that is returning just that one site collection. So that's how I say, hey, I want to grab that one site collection. The reason I want to do that, and it's important to note, it goes back to what Todd explained to us earlier, is that when it's returning that, it's not just returning the text on the screen. It's actually saying, hey, I have this whole object. I have the whole site collection. But I'm just returning you a couple words on the screen because I don't know if you know what's going on here, not yet. So what we're going to do is we're going to learn our fourth thing, and we're going to say get SP site. So grab that object, and we're going to use the pipe. So the old, the vertical bar. What's the other name for it? There's another name people call it.
I always just call it pipe.
All right, if you just call it the pipe, be that way.
Maybe the Ipe Pay?
The Ipe Pay, Ig Pay, Latin A, no. So pipe says, hey, take the output from this commandlet, so take the objects we get from there, and hand them to the next object. So here we could do, take that site collection and hand it over to the commandlet getSPWeb and return all the webs in that site collection. So that's how you, and there's only the one web, so that's a great example.
So did you learn a lot there? Do we need to go over that part again? With the, yeah.
I don't like any of you, for the record. We'll go create a web. How about that? Oh.
Look at that tab. Were you browsing my blog? Look
was.
At you.
You know me. Oh, what a great idea.
I the only command that I know that's SPWeb is getSPWeb. You probably can't do it in PowerShell.
Probably not. So...
So how would we start? If you were a beginning PowerShell newbie and you wanted to know how to create a web in PowerShell, how would you even find out how to do it? Google.
Someone's been clearly paying attention. So what have we figured out? If get-spweb is the way to get all the webs, right? So what would I do? I would probably say something like this. I would say get-command-noun. SPWeb. So there's all the commandlets, all the things we can do against a web object. Looking at the list, I would guess that new-SPWeb probably does what we want to do.
That's a good place to start. And this is exactly how Shane and I learned with the whole SP sites. Once we figured out the nouns, then we would go see what commandlets and like, hey, look, you can delete it.
And we're using these examples because they're very simple, very easy to consume. But in reality, we were doing this with, you know, the parameters for the business connectivity service application, right? We were like, oh, well, what's this thing? And so while it seems simple that I'm doing it, you know, you all knew that it was new SPWeb. But it's important to know the motions that you go through, because when you find new objects, the first thing we go do is get command for that particular object type to see what it is.
Yep.
All right, so we're going to do new-SPWeb. All right, URL, HTTP. portal.contoso.com/snoopy. Hit enter. Hold our breath. Dramatic pause.
Not long now.
Yeah, PowerShell needs a little spinning window. So what's going to happen here in a second is it's going to say, hey, you probably need a little more information, like what template do you want to use? And thankfully, the PowerShell commandlets, once again, they understand that I wasn't smart enough to know what I was actually doing, so they are going to pop up and ask me for the additional information.
Yep. So one of the things about PowerShell is, you know, like, is it a scripting language? Is it a programming language? Whatever. It's kind of both. So it can be interactive. If you issue a commandlet, if it was written correctly, if you don't give it all the information it needs, it will prompt you for it until you get it right. But you can also tell PowerShell all the information that you want, and it'll just fly through, and if it fails, it gives you errors. So you can do it batches, you know, scripts, or you can do it interactively in a window like this one. Hopefully more quickly.
Man, that creating in the GUI, that would have been a really bad idea, huh?
Yeah. Don't host your farm on my laptop, I think, is the...
Still the moral of the story?
Well, that was from the browser. That was when you hit it in the browser.
Yeah, sorry. I was just cleaning up the page.
So let's... Well... I'm going to jump into the permissions because that came up.
No, it's just grouchy.
It's just...
It's running on Todd's laptop is really the more... Yay! So there's Snoopy. Yep. So now if we go back to our previous commands, actually let's get back to the top of the page though. And I'm just hitting up arrow key, right, to flip through these. You are all aware of that. So now I'll get SP sites, right? So for that site collection, boom, there's all the webs. So... If you really got crazy, one of the things I used to like to show off was, you know, get SP sites, get SP web. What's that going to do? It's going to give me all the webs for the entire farm, right? It's going to go out, get all the site collections in my farm, and then for each one of those site collections, it's going to pull the web, and it's going to just iterate through all that. So, what, 20 characters there gets me the dump of every web in my farm, unless I have access denied to the my sites.
Yep. And we're going to cover that permission a bit in a couple of slides, have that make sense. So one of the things, how many of you did STS-ADM in SharePoint 2007? So one of the big problems was getting a list of all the webs. How could you do it? Well, until Service Pack 2 or whatever it was for SharePoint 2007, there was no way to do it. And then they added the enumol webs thing, but then you have to give it database names and all that. So now with PowerShell, as long as you have all the permissions that you need, you can do it all with this. The other one that's a great one is how would you figure out what template a web was created with? So a user calls the help desk and says, hey, I can't find the blah web part in SharePoint 2007. You're like, oh, okay, well, what kind of web is it? Is it a publishing web? Is it a team? Like, I don't know, how do I tell? Well, you know, there's no great way to tell. So you do SDS ADM, it wouldn't tell you it was all this. Now in PowerShell, you can just say get SP web, the web name, and then pull the data out. So that was one of the, when we first started playing with it, these were some like, oh, this is great. This is gonna be so much easier.
So Todd just used the example of figuring out what template my web was made with. So let's look at how that would work, because that brings us to command number 5. It's like we work together here. So we get SP web, right? So that's gonna return just our web, we know that, yay. But we said it returns this thing called the object. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna take and we're gonna pipe that to the next command that you must learn, get-member. So this amazing little commandlet, what he's gonna do is he is gonna return all of the methods and all of the properties for that particular object. So there is every single thing that I can do to a poor little web. Properties are easy, right? What color is it? How many tires does it have?
What year is it? What make, what model? Yeah.
So one of those things might be, what'd you just ask me?
Web template.
The web template. So right here we can see that there is a property called web template. So what we can do now is we can say, hey, get SP web portal, and we're going to use a command called select-object, if I spell it correctly.
Yeah, and the tab complete only works if you spell it correctly.
We're going to say URL, comma, web template. So then that returns for me those two properties. There's a URL for the web and the template that it has. So now if we went, now that we know that, we could go back to our friend this, and we could say select URL, comma, web template. And now after you see my MySite error, there's every web in our farm and the template that they were provisioned with. Right, just from kind of drilling down, piece by piece, little guy that we've learned.
Yep. Go ahead.
So, and select object, sorry, I didn't mention it. He was number 6. So.
Yep. So I told you that I don't use any aliases on my blog. I kind of lied. I will sometimes use the select alias for select object, but in my defense, when I started using select, I wasn't smart enough to know about aliases, and I didn't know it was an alias. So I just kind of got used to it, and then once I realized it, I'm like, oh, that makes perfect sense.
Right.
Show them more. So do the get member with more.
All right. So that was the get the web, get the member. And we're going to pipe that over to more, right? So.
Yep. So more is that command that we've had in the DOS world forever where it says do it a page at a time. A couple of great things with more is number one at the top, we can see type name. So we talked about how everything in PowerShell is an object. That thing up there is the object type. So if you're trying to do something fancy like SP web, SP site, whatever, and you're looking here through PowerShell and you can't really put the pieces together, because once you start looking through these methods and objects, you're going to get all kinds of great ideas of what you can do inside of PowerShell. But now that you know the object type and the object name, now you can go out to the web and you can, you know, Google or Bing or whatever. But if you go on the exact object type, then you can get into like MSDN and see all the write-up on that object type and start figuring things out. But that's kind of the key. The second thing is the members that we're getting. The first type is the top is the methods. And when we first discovered getMember, we're big nerds, we literally would pull objects out and do getMembers and look for methods and properties of stuff that we could do to try to figure out cool things to do with PowerShell. So that's another great way to kind of sharpen your skills as you're learning. Just walk through here and see what you can do. So one of the things, this great phrase that a coworker of mine said, a few months ago, a coworker sent out a question to a group and said, hey, is there a way to do blah in SharePoint? And nobody responded. So like an hour later, he's like, come on, guys, help me out. Is there a way to do blah in SharePoint? So somebody else on the team replied back, and he said, when I'm having problems like this, you should do what I do. Just tell Todd it can't be done in PowerShell, and then sit back, and then use the PowerShell he sends to prove you're wrong. A lot of that was from doing this kind of stuff and just, you know, culling through this and seeing all the different properties and methods and all that. So there's good stuff in there.
All right, so I want to flip over the slides for 1 second. We're almost through the easy part for those of you that are old pros of this. So there was get command. There was our friend GetHelp. There's our friend GetAlias. I didn't mention you can create your own aliases, so if you ever need to do that, you can use a set-alias to create your own. There is our good buddy, the pipe. He becomes the thing that you use the most often once you really get into this. And when you start seeing the scripts we've written, they've all just pipe on top of pipe on top of pipe. GetMember, every time we find a new object, go play the GetMember.
Yep.
And finally, select object. And select object, as Todd mentioned, is about 99% of the time in the world, people just type in select.
Yeah.
All right. Good? All right. Dramatic fade in here. Jeez, old Pete's. Okay, so we talked about the general PowerShell tips, right? We showed you the quick edit and all the fun color stuff. Always run it as admin. There are editors out there, ISEs.
Yeah, and I never really paid much attention to the ISEs until PowerShell version 3. So the ISE is the integrated scripting environment, and that comes with PowerShell, though with some versions of Windows you have to turn it on. But it's an environment, an IDE for creating PowerShell. With the first two versions of PowerShell, they were horrible. It was just no good. With PowerShell version 3 and 4, though, it's pretty good. So it allows you to open a PowerShell script, and it gives you your syntaxing and your parameters and all that, but you can write your scripts, and it's a good environment for that. So I used to use some third-party ones for that. PowerShell v3 came out, and I don't mess with them anymore.
All right, so the next thing I want to talk about for a minute for this session was how to connect to SharePoint Online, because it is not your farm, right? You don't remote desktop into the SharePoint Online servers or the Office 365 servers.
Boy, if you do, you'll get in big trouble.
Yeah, I hear that's a federal offense.
Yep.
So what you're going to need to do in order to be able to use PowerShell with your SharePoint Online deployment is you're going to need to install the SharePoint Online Management Shell. So there is one for SharePoint, there is one for Exchange Online, there is one for Office 365 as a whole. So depending on which one of those environments you want to use PowerShell against, you'll need to download the specific management shell for that. Then once we do that, we're going to connect in and use the connect line there to attach to our tenant, and then we're off to the races using PowerShell the way we always do. So real quick, I just want to show you guys what that looks like because it's slightly different. And it's a good chance for me to screw up. So who doesn't like that?
I know I do.
So I'm not going to use the SharePoint 2013 management shell with my SharePoint server. Instead, I've installed a separate tool, and it's the SharePoint Online management shell. Same dealio. I'm going to right-click on it, always run it as administrator. Yes, Windows. Hide our other friend. And so with this guy, same type of deal, right? We're just going to zoom it instead of even messing with fixing it. Normally, I would fix it. So there we are. And so once we're in this, the first thing you need to do is you're going to do connect. And it's on the slide, so you'll have it as a reference later. Connect SPO service, and then -URL. And for me, it's going to be HTTPS, Shane's Cows. It's an old school one. -admin-sharepoint.com. So one of the reasons I point this out specifically is because it's the admin URL. When I first started to try it, I kept trying to use my normal place I would go for my tenants, right? Just the normal portal homepage. You have to use the admin URL here. It won't use any of the other URLs. So we're going to hit enter. When we do hit enter now, we're going to get the pop-up box. And so then here, this is the admin credentials for my tenant. Shane@ShanesCows. Let me tell them how much I do this. ShanesCows.onMicrosoft.com. My password is, I'm not going to tell you. Not that I think any of you would hack me about 30 seconds after I said the password.
His password is I love Todd. Maybe it's not.
Maybe it's not.
So while he's trying that,
well, I type in the right password.
So one of the things we talked about, how every commandlet is verb-noun, and that the PowerShell nouns all start with SP. So that's another one of the naming conventions. So we've talked about how there's Active Directory commandlets. So one of the things that you might do with an Active Directory commandlet is create a new user, right? But one of the things that you do with SharePoint is you add users to SharePoint stuff. So the prefix, so the object type is user, but whatever the specific prefix is, like AD user, always goes at the beginning. So when we start playing with some of these, you'll notice that prefix for SharePoint Online is SPO.
Yep.
That's, so if you write your own stuff, that's the way it goes. Did you get in this time? Did I stall?
Yeah. Okay. I almost think it's a bug. I always have to log in twice.
Either that or I just don't know my password.
One of the two. All right. So here then I was just going to do get command SPO. Okay, command dash noun SPO. And so what you're going to find with the PowerShell commandlets for SharePoint Online, there's only 30 of them. And with those 30, so you don't have any of the service application stuff or any of that fun stuff. But one of the things we'll talk about here in a minute when we get into the advanced scripts is we like to get objects. So we'll pull a site collection in, fiddle with its properties, and then write that stuff back out. We do like an update method to push. That's how we usually work with SharePoint. When you're working with SharePoint Online, they don't support that pushing back that way. So the only type of changes you can make are the ones that PowerShell commandlets directly let you make. So you can set an SPO site, but you can't get an SPO site, put it in a variable, and then manipulate it and then push it back. So it's still evolving. PowerShell with SharePoint Online is still evolving. Any questions about that? A lot of the stuff that people want to do that I found, it actually is generally in the Office 365 level, right? They want to create new users. They want to provision, we just hired someone. We want to bring them on board. So that's all done through the Office 365 commandlets, not through the SharePoint Online commandlets. So just keep that in mind. You got to look at those as individual pieces, even though we generally think of SharePoint Online as just being Office 365. It's not in this case very specifically.
Yeah. So another thing that this brings up is we already had a PowerShell window open. Why did we have to open up a different one? Why did we just use the one we were in? PowerShell has this idea of modules, and the modules are this group of commandlets. So I'll give Gary LaPointe another shout out. He wrote a bunch of commandlets, and other people wrote a bunch of commandlets. So what happens if they didn't have this idea of modules being in each host? If every time you brought PowerShell up and it just loaded everything up, if you both wrote get SP site commandlets, which one would run? I don't know. So every PowerShell window, every host, can have specific modules in it. The one that and that's why we have the different shortcuts. So the SharePoint management shell one loads up SharePoint's modules and nothing else. SPOs loads those and only those and nothing else. You can manually add them, but that's why we had to open up different windows. So if you ever open up PowerShell and you're doing get SP farm and nothing's happening, it's because the PowerShell module isn't loaded. Yes, sir? His question was if PowerShell 4 automatically loads the module. I believe it does, but I honestly haven't checked much. So.
All right, so all the SharePoint commandlets. So remoting, this is another one of those things that Voodoo I can't ever pull off, but Todd is pretty good at.
Yeah, so the idea with remoting is that you can be on like your Windows 8 workstation or your Windows 7 workstation and execute PowerShell, but actually have it run someplace else. And there's a couple of different ways to do it. We've got the two ways in there. You can either do a PS session where it's interactive, so I could be sitting at my laptop, have my music going, have Netflix up, be watching the new House of Cards, and have a PowerShell window open on my desktop, but PowerShell is actually on one of my SharePoint servers. So I'm get SP farm, I'm making site collections like it's my job. Well, it probably is my job, actually. But that's good. So that seems like limited when you think, what's the point of that? Why don't I just RDPN? Where it really becomes powerful is when you're doing loops, when you want to do a bunch of things on a bunch of servers. So one of the things that I've done recently is I wrote a scheduled task that goes out and gets all the drive space on a big group of servers that we monitor. So you build this in building blocks. So once I figured out how to use PowerShell to get the free space on my local box, which was not tough, then I used remoting, and I just had a list of servers, and I said, remote into server number one, get the free space, drop out. Remote into server number two and get the free space and drop out. So you can start looping through things. And there's 100 examples on the web of getting BIOS information and patch levels and all that kind of stuff. But remoting is the way to do it. So there's some fiddly bits that you need to do to get it enabled. One of the great things about the PowerShell help is the PowerShell help is not just commandlet specific. So you can do the get help new SP site, but it's also topic specific. So there's a whole bunch of about underscores. and one of them is about underscore remoting. So it tells you all the things you need to do to enable that, what some of the things are. With SharePoint, we've talked about all these objects. As you start shuffling these huge collection of objects back and forth, there's a buffer that can sometimes get full, so we can do that. Finally, one of the cool things that came out in PowerShell V3 is this idea of PowerShell web access. So now you can give somebody access to a website that is a PowerShell window on a specific server. So they might not have access to RDP into it, they might not, but they can, you know, if you've got some low-level person that you want to have them running scripts, they can hit a web page. It's got PowerShell on the web page. It gets them into a specific server, and they can run stuff. It's kind of cool. We've set it up. It's a neat thing. It's all included, so you can just turn it on.
All right, so that gets us to that. So that concludes the basics getting connected. So now we've got some different slides here about connecting to everyday tasks, and then we're going to jump over and do crazy demos.
Yeah. So this is... Now that you know you kind of got the basics, we're just going to talk about some things that you can start doing, things that you're probably already doing that you can do in PowerShell. And again, not that you're going to do these with PowerShell, but they're going to kind of get the wheels moving. And once you get comfortable with these, you're going to start getting ideas of other stuff you can do. So Shane did a great example of why this one is important when he did his whole Get SP Site, Get SP Web. So thinking about the way SharePoint is architected, where is the list of site collections stored? Config database. So there's an objects table in the config database, and all your site collections are in there, and there's a pointer to what content database it's in, stuff like that. The user he was logged in as had permission to that. Went into the config database, got all the site collections, everything was great. But then he got greedy, and he said, you know, knowing what the site collections are is not enough. I need all the webs. Where's the list of webs stored? In the content database. So what his example showed was he tried to loop through every site collection in the config database, and then jump into each content database and get the list of webs for that site collection. And he didn't have permission to one of them. Here's how you fix that. So for somebody to use PowerShell, they need to be able to log into the server or remote into the server or whatever, but they need to be given permission to each database that they're going to try to touch. Because unlike when you do things in central admin, PowerShell runs as you. When you go into central admin and do something, whatever you're trying to do, actually runs as the farm account in the background, because it's that web process that central admin's in that does it. With PowerShell, it's actually you, so you actually need access to the thing. So add SP Shell admin is the way that you do that. You do it per database, config database included, all your content databases. And so if you get weird permission errors, that's probably the solution to fix it right there. And you can see it gives permissions a couple of ways, a couple on the local box and a couple on the SQL box.
All right, so let's jump over. Slides are boring. Oh, wrong button.
Your slides are boring.
Well.
My slides are awesome.
All right, so there we go. So one of the things that we are going to get is we'll give you access to this file, or PowerShell.txt file. So this has probably the first 3 or 4 years of Todd and I's PowerShell career all encapsulated in one text file. Now, at the beginning, at the top there, so we're going to zoom in so you can read it. I want you to be very clear when I give you this that there's a lot of responsibility you're taking on, right? There's a lot of PowerShell in here that will flat out destroy your farm. I'm not kidding a little bit. If you run the PowerShell in here line by line, your farm will die. Yep. Very important to note. So Todd wrote a lot of the stuff that causes it to die. There's other pieces in here that are like nonsensical notes almost. I literally don't know what they do, and I wrote it down. So don't just arbitrarily run this PowerShell just because we gave it to you. The same when you read it off blogs and things like that. It's not, you need a test environment.
Yeah, so. You need to understand what you're doing. I get the fact that if you knew how to do it, you wouldn't be downloading it from somebody's website. I mean, that makes sense. But read through it and understand what the different commandlets are. Don't just blindly run it.
All right, so let's talk our way through some of these. You guys read that okay? Yeah, the zoom it thing is, I knew it would get me sooner or later. Let's resize this guy a little.
There you go.
We're word wrapping. All right, we're hitting zoom it again. Knock it down a little bit.
You are a zoom it champion.
I know.
We should have used this yesterday. Why didn't anybody say anything about this yesterday?
Don't remind me. All right, so the first couple ones you've already kind of seen. So one of the concepts that we have not talked about at this point that's important is the concept of variables. So to anything that you see with a dollar sign in front of it in PowerShell is a variable. And to create a variable, It's literally as easy as $ cal equals, I don't know, get SP site, http portal.contoso.com. All right, so why would we do that, right? So we do that, boom. After every time you set a variable, you should always type it right back in, and you can tab complete variables now. My first time. Yeah. So that always confirms that it's in there, right? But now that we've done that, remember we talked about, so the site collection object's in there. We talked about all those properties and methods. So $cal.liz. Now I can go UI version configuration enabled, upgrade context, upgrade. I can actually flip through the properties and methods that are available in there. So we can start messing around with them in a lot faster instead of writing big, long scripts because we know we're going to fight with that site collection. That's the way to go to war with it.
Yep. So a couple things about that. You don't need to declare variables ahead of time with PowerShell. You just assign them. And the other thing is it's kind of a pedantic thing, but the dollar sign means to PowerShell, whatever is next is a variable. So technically, the dollar sign is not part of the variable name. That comes up when we start doing, there's some special variables in there that we have to know about.
Let's see, which ones we want to talk through? How about?
Let's talk about looping.
All right, well, how about it?
Everybody likes a good loop. So right above where the cursor is there, we see the commandlet for each object. So PowerShell is pretty cool in that you don't need to know how many things are coming back. So you can do get SP site and get one back, get SP site and get 100 back, and all the code looks the same. So you either get one object back, or you get what PowerShell calls a collection of objects. So when you have a collection of objects, you need to do something with them. Like Shane talked about walking through and assigning my cat as the owner to all the site collections. We could go through and do get SP site and then copy everyone out and do it. Or we could get this collection of objects. We could make a variable, a collection of these objects, and loop through them with something like for each. So what that does, that get SP site pipe for each says, get me all the site collections, this whole collection of objects, take them and pipe them through whatever's next. For each says, hey, I like collections of things. For each object that you pass me, I will do whatever's in the curly brackets. And that's where we start getting into the real power of PowerShell is this whole idea of looping. Because with STS-ADM, let's say I did find a way to get to wrangle out of it a list of all the webs in my farm. So what? I can't do anything with it. It's just a big blob of text. It's not even real XML. It's just like XML-ish. But you can't do anything with it. Then you got to write a bunch of VB or something to parse through it. With PowerShell, you just loop it on and send it to the next commandlet. So that one's probably a little complicated, but that one's going through and getting all the usage information for our site collections. So it's assigning a variable, C, equal to 0, and then saying for each site collection, add the usage to C, walk through all of them, and then at the end, write it out. So this whole idea of looping and piping is where you really get the fun stuff.
Crazy stuff. So that's a fun one. Another important thing to understand about PowerShell that we have right here, so this top set of code, this was something that someone cobbled together that said, hey, I need to go in and activate a feature on all the my sites in our entire environment. We have like roughly 50,000. That piece of code that really is going to loop through some PowerShell and then run an STS-ADM command in the middle. That piece of text there, it took about 12 hours to run in the environment. Well, one of the resident Microsoft PowerShell geniuses said, hey, you're doing that all wrong. If you would use that line, that does the same exact thing, and that runs in 30 minutes. Why? Yep. Well, the big difference why is that PowerShell understands objects, PowerShell understands looping. So when PowerShell, we say, hey, go activate this feature, what happens? PowerShell spun up the command, said, okay, I'm going to load all the PowerShell commandlet into place, I'm going to load all the pieces of this commandlet, yay, I'm going to loop through it 50,000 times, and then I'm going to shut all that down, right? Very compact, very efficient. If you look at the code up here at the top, that said, all right, load some PowerShell, do some stuff, load up STS-ADM, load up all the pieces of that commandlet in memory for STS-ADM, do the thing, shut all that down, hit the top of the loop, go again, start. So it had to kind of keep starting and stopping, right, 50,000 times. That's how you go from 12 hours to 30 minutes. So This is where Todd talked about revisiting what you've done in STS ADM and find the PowerShell way of doing it, because especially at scale, it can make a tremendous difference for performance.
Yep.
So another piece of PowerShell we talked about earlier in the week, this PowerShell commandlet here, this is all AD, this is not SharePoint, but Todd builds lots of VMs. He puts lots of them on his timesheet anyway. But as he does that, when he provisions those, he has about 50 people that he likes to put out there, right? His cat, his dog.
Neighbors, people yeah. I owe money to, that kind of stuff.
Not my youngest son, but his youngest son. I don't want to get into that.
I like my kid better than your kid.
And so we have a CSV file where all of that lives. And so he wrote the PowerShell because AD now has its own PowerShell commandlets built in to provision all those users in AD, set their password, set their manager, all the specific properties so it could run through.
Okay, so I like that one other. So the second one from the top of the Get SP Site filter. So one of the great things that we can do is we're looping through things and we're piping things is we can also filter things. So let's imagine we finally get tired of Shane's crap at work and we just have him fired. We're done with it. He's been a thorn in our side for years. But one of the things that we need to do is we need to find all of the site collections where Shane is an owner and we need to assign somebody else as that owner. So that's one of the ways that we can do that. We can say, get me the SP site. And when we do the help for get SP site, we can see there's a filter. That's an optional thing. They don't all have that. But we can say filter where the secondary contact equals Contoso/Shane. I mentioned earlier about those crazy variables, that the dollar sign really meant the next thing is a variable. There's a crazy variable in there, $_.
Yeah.
First time you stumble across that, that's kind of tough to figure out what's going on. The way that I like to think about that is a fill-in-the-blank variable. So we know that anything that starts with the dollar sign is a variable. What's happening there is if there is more than one site collection, we're sending them all down the, walking it through, and that's saying for each one, fill in the blank with the current object and do the thing. So when you use for each object, when you use which, where object, all that, they all use that fill-in-the-blank variable, and it just means whatever the current one in the iteration is.
All right, so right below that, we have the different operators, and I want to show you an example of why operators are important.
Oh, yes.
So one of those classic Todd stories. This is the PowerShell and the thing I know for certain will destroy your farm. So those two command looks very similar, right? Get SP database, right? So get all the databases in my farm, pipe it over to where object, $_name, and in one example, it's -eq, SharePoint config, and the other is the equal sign SharePoint config.
Now, do we have any developers in the room? Never admit to that. So the equal sign over all the programming languages in all of the world, the equal sign can mean one of two things. It can be assignment, which means the thing on the left gets the value of the thing on the right, or it can mean comparison. Makes true if it is the thing. What do we think it is in PowerShell? Assignment, yes. So what happened was I was writing some PowerShell to loop through all of my databases, and I was trying to automate a thing that set mirroring for the configuration database. So I'm a pretty smart PowerShell guy. I probably had 6 months of PowerShell.
At least.
Oh, yeah, and I was everything PowerShell. So as I was working it through, I'm like, all right, get SP object, loop through them, and where the name of it is SharePoint_config. Now, obviously, that's terrible. I should be comparing it to the type or something as opposed to the name, but at that point. So I did the get SP database, and it lists all the databases. And then I do that, get SP database where object equal blah, and nothing happened. So I was expecting to get one result back. I was trying to filter. I got no response. So for whatever reason, I'm like, well, maybe you just didn't hear me the first time, and I up arrow and hit it again. No response. So then one of the great things when you're troubleshooting PowerShell is start backing off to the previous pipe. Because you start building out, when something goes wrong, you back off. So I back off to the pipe, so I'm just running get SP database again. And what had I just done? I had renamed every database in my farm SharePoint_config. Because I said get SP database, and then it executed the code in those brackets, and I used the equal sign, and it renamed them all, every one of them.
Glad that was a test farm.
Yes, that was a, thank goodness for snapshots. So the important lesson there is you don't use the equal sign, you use the comparison things there. Use -eq. I told that story to a friend of mine. Scroll up to the comparisons there. Or where the Yeah, there we go. So he told a developer friend of mine, he's like, maybe you should use dash like. That way you never forget because there's no like character. So that's always a good one. But yeah, use the comparison things.
All right, so another one I want to talk about here.
We've got five, okay.
So here, this is where I'll show you some of the crazier stuff. So I promise crazy stuff. So there's the PowerShell right here for adding 3,000 items to a list. So SharePoint gives us, you know, get web app, get farm, get web app, get site collection, get web. It stops at web. So you have to write your own PowerShell to get the list or the individual items. So that's the PowerShell for actually getting a list and then manipulating the items in a list. Interestingly enough, that PowerShell runs in about 30 to 90 seconds depending on the VM.
So about 4 days on my VM.
Yes. But to delete those items, I think the first time I tried to delete it, it took 9 hours. Right, because SharePoint is optimized for writes, not for deletes. So I've given you a couple of different ways to deleting things. As IT pros, the way delete works doesn't really always make sense to us, but essentially you get a collection and it deletes the top thing in the collection. As an IT pro, I'm like, all right, just go delete the next thing in the collection, next thing. Well, no, the collection just changed. Now the top thing in the collection is the thing that was the collection. So it's always reshuffling the order. It's very, very complicated.
It says, hey, this collection's not valid anymore. I need to go out and refresh it.
So that's some good, fun stuff to play with. Another one, this was for me practicing some moving stuff. The PowerShell here will actually create 100 text files for you, put a little bit of text in each one, and then upload those to SharePoint. This comes up a lot. That simple piece of PowerShell, I use that in a lot of scenarios now. Not the creating the text files as much, but being able to upload things programmatically through PowerShell, right? How many of you ever had the problem where you've restored something, and when you restored it, what happens, right? It gets your name, and the modified date becomes now. Or if you try and move something from the file share over to SharePoint, there's nothing you can do, right? You drag, you drop it, and you're like, well, crap, I'm the owner of the HR policy now. That's not what you want. The PowerShell here will actually let you look at a file share, for example. Grab the files off the file share, grab the file owner and the modified date and the create date, and then programmatically upload them with PowerShell and manually set the owner, the create date, the modified date. So a lot of you doing simple migrations where you're just trying to move a little bit of data from here to here and you don't want to fall into that trap, you can either go buy a $50,000 tool out on the show floor, or you guys can cobble together, you know, 5 minutes worth of PowerShell that we're giving you here and put those stories together. So he asked, in these examples, am I using any of the other modules or am I just using SharePoint? It's 100% SharePoint. Yeah. I'm not smart enough to load anything other than the SharePoint ones. Yeah. So.
Another great example of to use this is throttling. So throttling is something new in SharePoint 2010 and SharePoint 2013. And the behavior of a list and a library changes once you get to the 2,000 objects, 5,000 objects, that kind of stuff. But it's tough to test your code and your custom things with that. So you can either have your college intern upload 5,000 pictures from the party he went to the night before, or you can use PowerShell, like we've got here, to just create 5,001 objects in a list, and then see how the throttling happens, see who sees what, see how your scripts run, that kind of stuff.
So here is, and we're about to run out of time.
We've got about 2 minutes, yeah.
2 minutes, all right. So the last one I'll talk about real quick, and then I'll get your question afterwards. All right, so the last one is, this is the actual PowerShell that I use to take a customer's 2007 document libraries and based on the modified date of the files, only programmatically grab those and upload those to 2010 and set the data. Right? This is the beauty of the simple things, the six simple things we taught you earlier. Once I found out that there was a file system object for every file, I did get member. Well, holy smolies, right? There's all the different data I wanted, and I started working through it. I didn't need a developer to write code. I didn't have to go buy something. There's the PowerShell. So dig into this, play with it, and use the pieces you've been taught to actually explore any object you find.
Yep. All right, so we're going to put the slide deck out. There's a couple more examples in there, stuff you're probably going to want to do. Don't forget to fill out your evaluations. Go to myspc.com, and under the thing you can click at evaluations and fill that out. We're also going to be doing an upgrade session in a couple of hours. Please come visit us there. Thank you very much. If you've got any questions, come on up.